Welcome back to the DBM Strategy Call, Part 1, everyone, the place where we take a breath and continue to calmly build our digital businesses against a backdrop of major macroeconomic, geopolitical, and project-level developments. Sarah, what do we got for our listeners this week?
Hey, John. Yeah, another interesting week for sure. The headline story this week was a massive, aggressive rotation out of tech and into defensive sectors. And for once, the culprit wasn't geopolitical friction in the Middle East. It was the AI trade itself starting to show deep structural cracks.
Indeed, the macro picture saw an AI wobble and the Fed continuing to find its place. Let's break down the numbers. The S&P 500 closed down nearly 2% on the week at 7,354.02. But the real bloodbath was in the tech-heavy NASDAQ, which plunged 4.6% to 25,297.62, locking in its fifth straight losing session. Interestingly, the Dow bucked the trend entirely, gaining 0.6% to finish at 51,876.11. That tells you everything you need to know about the rotation.
Exactly. Investors fled high-flying tech names for safety. Alphabet dropped 5% on Monday alone due to worries over top-tier AI talent departures, which dragged communication services to its worst day since the April 2025 tariff chaos. Amazon fell 4.8%, Meta slid 2.3%, and Microsoft lost 3%. Even SpaceX, which has been the absolute darling of the market lately, cratered 16% on Monday, marking its third consecutive daily drop and giving back a massive chunk of its post-IPO gains.
And then Tuesday turned it into a global tech rout. A sell-off in U.S. memory chips rolled overnight into Asia. In South Korea, trading was literally halted after an 8% plunge in the Kospi triggered a circuit breaker, with the index closing down 5.8%. Micron sank nearly 10% in pre-market trading ahead of its earnings, despite being up over 300% on the year.
What's wild is that the ultimate catalyst for breaking market sentiment was just a single headline. The New York Times reported that OpenAI is leaning towards pushing its IPO all the way out to 2027. Apparently, advisors told Sam Altman he could either list sooner at a lower valuation or wait it out for a cool $1 trillion valuation. Altman reportedly called anything under a trillion a non-starter. That delay immediately raised massive warning flags about whether the current mind-boggling spending on AI infrastructure is actually sustainable long-term.
It's a classic narrative shift. Ironically, Micron's actual earnings prove the problem isn't current fundamentals. They posted record Q3 revenue of $41.46 billion, up 346% year-over-year with monstrous 86.4% gross margins and big Q4 guidance of $50 billion. But it didn't matter. The stock kept sliding because the market is hyper-focused on the future outlook of the AI trade.
On the macroeconomic data side, we also got the May PCE print. It confirmed the inflation scare we were tracking, but it also looks like it marked the peak. The Fed's favorite gauge hit 4.1% year over year, crossing the 4% threshold for the first time since April 2023, while core sat at 3.4. On paper, that screams rate hike.
Right, but the market completely shrugged it off. Why? Because that year-over-year spike is driven entirely by backward-looking energy data from May, right before oil prices collapsed. The actual monthly increase came in below expectations. That's why gold caught a bid and equities didn't completely fall out of bed.
And looking at oil, Brent crude tumbled 4.33% on Wednesday to settle at $73.74, its lowest point since before the U.S. and Israel first struck Iran back in late February. WTI slid down to $70.34. Treasury yields fell right alongside oil, with the 10-year dropping back below 4.5%. If crude stays down here, the June inflation data coming in mid-July is going to look dramatically lower. It could completely wipe out the logic behind that hawkish dot plot the Fed delivered last week.
Interesting. Now, let's pivot to geopolitics, because while it didn't spark the tech sell-off, things are getting incredibly tense again. The ceasefire faced its first massive stress test late in the week. On Thursday, an Islamic Revolutionary Corps drone struck a Singapore-flagged cargo ship right in the Strait of Hormuz. That forced the International Maritime Organization to halt its vessel evacuation operations.
And the U.S. response was swift. By Friday, the U.S. launched its first military strikes on Iran since the June 17th memorandum was signed. CENTCOM hit missile sites, drone storage, and coastal radar stations, calling it a powerful response to Tehran's dangerous behavior.
Iran didn't back down. They retaliated on Saturday with drone strikes targeting Bahrain. But their diplomatic framing is fascinating. They're arguing that none of this violates the ceasefire. Ibrahim Azizi, Iran's parliamentary security chief, posted that the Strait of Hormuz is governed by Iran and characterized the entire violent exchange as ceasefire management rather than escalation. It's a highly volatile situation for global supply chains.
As ever, all of this macro and geopolitical chaos brings us to crypto, which had another negative week. Bitcoin was caught in a painful double whammy, getting hit from both sides of the same trade. It was a textbook liquidity squeeze. Bitcoin slid under $60,000 on Thursday for the first time since 2024, hovering around $60,100 by Friday. That puts BTC down roughly 6% on the week and a painful 22% off its May high of $77,623. Ethereum followed suit, dropping down to around $1,560.
For those tracking the big picture, the irony here is thick. Crypto is getting crushed by the AI trade unwinding, but it's also suffering because of the capital that originally left crypto to chase the AI hype in the first place. With steady ETF outflows, a stalled Clarity Act in Washington, and the Crypto Fear and Greed Index plunging into extreme fear at 24, there's simply no near-term catalyst. Technically, the crucial 200-week moving average near $62,457 has broken. As in previous cycles, the weak hands shake out, while those aware of the converse effects of sound money see massive buying opportunity.
This brings us to a much larger structural conversation about where digital assets and blockchain technology are actually going to build their future. We've been watching a fascinating documentary analysis from Economy Historine that frames this beautifully by examining the macroeconomic suicide pact happening in Europe right now compared to the US.
Absolutely. The study titled How to Destroy a Continent paints a forensic autopsy of the European Union's structural economic decay. While the US aggressively pursues tech dominance and a culture of deregulation, the EU has essentially optimized for bureaucratic compliance over economic velocity. In Q1 2026, the Eurozone's GDP grew by a microscopic 0.1%. They haven't birthed a world-changing tech giant in two decades, and they're now hell-bent on limiting their population's ability to hold and move digital assets.
The study highlights that Europe's industrial core is literally liquidating. Look at Volkswagen. A leaked 2026 McKinsey directive advised them to shut down 8 of their 10 domestic factories in Germany just to survive. They already closed their Dresden plant in late 2025, which was the first time in the company's 88-year history shutting down a domestic factory. Why? Because hyper-regulated, astronomically expensive energy grids mean you cannot run competitive heavy industry in the region.
And it's not just auto giants. It's the Mittelstand, the family-owned precision engineering firms that form the actual spine of Germany's supply chain. They're facing systemic extinction because the 2026 Middle East crisis triggered secondary energy shocks. They're burning through cash reserves just to keep the lights on.
Meanwhile, the financial plumbing is a ticking time bomb. The study dives into the Target 2 settlement system. Germany's Bundesbank is sitting on over $1 trillion in phantom net claims, essentially an astronomical bag of unpayable IOUs from southern European countries. France's administrative state now consumes nearly 60% of its GDP, causing their bond yields to blow out. The OAT bund spread, as foreign investors price in a political premium tax. Southern Europe is trapped in a low-skilled tourism loop, and Northern Europe is experiencing nitrogen suicide, where, for example, the Netherlands is forcing its hyper-efficient farming sector to dismantle itself to meet abstract environmental spreadsheets.
The Venice verdict is in full effect. Europe isn't going to collapse violently. It will remain beautiful. The food will be great, and the trains will run on time, but all the while transforming into a luxurious retirement home and a living museum. it has completely resigned from wealth generation, choosing instead to compensate for a lack of innovation with cheap imported labor and chasing autocratic, self-fulfilling crisis after crisis.
And this is the ultimate macro backdrop for digital assets. The U.S. is moving toward financial deregulation and fostering a booming private sector-led stablecoin ecosystem to extend the dominance of the digital dollar. They want velocity, innovation, and capital flight from dying jurisdictions.
Meanwhile, Brussels is doing exactly what it always does, trying to regulate a future it doesn't participate in. The EU is heavily penalizing decentralized crypto assets through suffocating compliance frameworks, while desperately pushing top-down, heavily monitored central bank digital currencies. They're trying to use programmatic ledger technology to manage their economic decline and enforce ideological compliance, while the US is leveraging stablecoins as a tool for aggressive capital growth on their terms.
If you want to know why liquidity is abandoning European digital asset frameworks and seeking refuge in dollar-backed decentralized infrastructure, that autopsy explains everything. Fortunately, those who are informed and tracking these macro-level maneuvers are able to own the assets that benefit from the most successful model, no matter their physical location.
Looking ahead to this week, remember it's holiday shortened, with U.S. markets closed on Friday for July 4th. That means the crucial non-farm payrolls drops on Thursday instead. The real macro test hits mid-July, when the June inflation print flows in. That's when we find out if cheaper oil can rescue this market from an AI trade that suddenly looks dangerously overowned and overleveraged, and whether Bitcoin can reclaim its key moving averages.
Indeed. And for those in the DBM community, all eyes on our yield-generating projects and expected liquidity events, right on cue for these macro-level realignments. Be sure to attend this week's DBM Strategy Call, Part 2, for the lowdown on where we're at, including the shift several projects are now able to make to true product-driven value. Stay safe out there, folks. Keep your eyes on the prize, and we'll see you next time.